He lay still among the rubble. Beneath the blue Middle Eastern skies, as you stood upon this bulldozed building, beside the settlements and their hills so green, as your tears gave way to grim determination, amidst the ruins of the city of Jenin. Why should anybody wonder, as you stepped on board the crowded bus across the green line, and you reached inside your jacket for the cord? Were you thinking of your neighbor's buried bodies as you made the stage for this scene? As you set off the explosives that were strapped around your waist, were you thinking of the city of Jenin?
Bravo, bravo.
Thank
well
you.
Well done. Well, this was a song about Jenin, the famous Palestinian city which was partly, or the refugee camp was demolished by the Israeli army. And my guest is folk singer David Ravix, who visited the Middle East. But you didn't go to the West Bank and Gaza, I guess.
No, I didn't make it there. I had a tour of Israel, which was set up by the Israeli Folk Society several years ago. And they had no contacts in the occupied territories. And I wasn't able to make any contacts with anybody who wanted to set up a concert at that time. Although since then I've made more contacts, but that was after I wrote a song which got me got what was to be my second tour of Israel canceled, the song was critical of the IDF for killing children with live ammunition, and I wrote it after Sharon's visit to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and that was what, 2 Septembers ago, right? And it was that November that I was supposed to do my second tour of Israel, and then that never happened.
They canceled your trip based on your opinions and your.
Yeah, because I wrote that song. They, out of the 10 gigs that I had, 8 of them wrote me and called me a fascist or a self-loathing Jew or some combination of those terms, and one of them said he agreed with my sentiments, but that nobody else did in his town, so I shouldn't come because no one would come to the show. And one who was actually of the 10, the only really religious Jew and also a 2-time war veteran, and he said he liked the song, looked forward to hearing it, and he thought Sharon was a fascist too.
Well, it seems like he is. David, we're going to come back to this, but first, would like you to... how many CDs do you have, by the way?
I have 5 that are still in print.
In print. And could you tell us more about yourself, and where were you born, and why did you choose this kind of singing, the folk singing? And mm-hmm. Are you Jewish?
Yeah, yeah, in fact. Okay, I'm not religious, but I'm of Jewish lineage. My father's Jewish, and... His parents were refugees from Russia, and I grew up in the suburbs of New York City, and both my parents are classical musicians, so playing music.
How do you dare to criticize Israel?
My dad is also not a Zionist, but it was just not an issue really much when I was growing up. He basically became apolitical. I mean, I would consider him progressive too, but not, he never was an activist in any sense. I didn't grow up in a real Jewish community, so I didn't hear about Israel all the time. My grandmother always talked about the Holocaust, but she didn't talk much about Israel, for whatever reason. I don't know. She's not a real ardent Zionist, but she's more stuck in the 40s, really, and you know.
Just like any normal grandmother.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's true. Well, tell me, I was going to... Would you go back to the West Bank and Gaza? Would you go?
I'd love
there?
To. Yeah, I'd yes. love to go. Yeah. Yeah, I've thought about just going with the International Solidarity Movement, whether or not I had singing engagements, but just to be there and be involved with the great work that they're doing, but just haven't done it, mainly because of inertia. I pretty much go wherever people set up gigs for me, so I tend not to take a whole lot of my own initiative other than to write songs about things that are going on, and then
you are a songwriter.
Yeah, that's
and a singer. You sing mm-hmm. your own songs.
Yeah, pretty much I'll sing all the songs I'm doing.
You grew up in New York?
Yeah, for the first couple of years in New York City, and then in the suburbs in Connecticut. Yeah, just outside of New York City.
Have you traveled around the world?
I've traveled around the privileged world mainly. I've traveled around Western Europe, a little in Eastern Europe, and Israel, and all over North America. But I've pretty much gone to places where I can get gigs. You know, that most of my travels have been related to playing concerts, and so most of the places I've been are places where there's a lot of people who speak English. Mm-hmm. You know, Germany, the Netherlands, Denmark, England, Ireland, Israel. Yeah.
So as an intellectual, as a songwriter, you found you made your decision about the situation in the Middle East, about Sharon, about Israel, but you did sure. you have any contact visiting Palestinian refugees, talking to people about the situation, the suffering, the
not well, yeah, I've known Palestinian refugees in different cities that I've lived in, yeah, but
in North America,
yeah. But I think what influenced me about, I think the first real big influence for me in terms of Israel and U.S. foreign policy was Noam Chomsky, and listening to his lectures, because I lived in Boston for many years, so I would go to a lot of Noam Chomsky lectures and read his books, and so I think that was, and reading articles in progressive publications. I mean, I'm just basically a product of the progressive movement, and so, you know, what has what's influenced me about so many things has been subjects that have been discussed a lot in publications like Z Magazine or The Nation or In These Times or, you know, different books. But of course, you know, it's also connected in really pretty obvious ways when you get, you know, beneath the skin of it, and you realize that U.S. foreign policy is pretty consistent, and it's evil, and it's all about control of the world and capitalism and what's good for big, huge corporations. And, you know, I mean, sometimes it doesn't seem to make sense, but even from that vantage point, but generally it's, you know, whatever's good for the multinational corporations. And so there's a lot of consistency, like U.S. foreign policy towards Israel, towards Iraq, towards Colombia, U.S. domestic policy, you know, the prison building, the environmental policy. I mean, it's also interrelated, and I think it all has to do with capitalism, which is, I think, really our biggest problem in the world when you come down to it.
You are a protest singer?
I don't mind the term protest singer necessarily, but at the same time, I like to say that, you know, in the way the history of folk music, I think pretty much throughout the world, although I'm more familiar with the English, Irish, U.S. folk tradition, but I think pretty much everywhere the history of folk music has been a history of people writing songs about things that are happening around them in the world and things that they hear about in other towns and other countries. And I mean, one of the most popular subjects in both the North American and English and Irish folk music has been songs about mine disasters. Well, why? Well, because people lived in towns with mines in them. They blew up a lot, and a lot of people that they knew got killed. So they wrote songs about it. You know, another very popular subject for hundreds of years is police brutality, or having to get drafted into the army and go get killed for some cause you don't believe in. I mean, these kinds of things are what people have been writing about because that's been their experience. And it's only in the past several decades, with the advent of the music industry, that people have been expected to write songs about relationships and just about nothing else. You know, now on, you know, except on great community stations like CKUT, on commercial radio, you're pretty much 90% of the material that you hear, whether it's folk or country or rock or whatever, is songs about heterosexual relationships, which is, you know, the only acceptable thing to write about now. But that's not the history of, that's not what people have been writing about forever, and that's not what people are mostly writing about. It's just what gets on commercial radio.
So you support community radios?
Oh, yeah.
You're against corporate, or you're critical of the corporate radios?
Yeah, and I think that what I'm writing about is normal. I mean, to say, absolutely, you know, you could say this is political music or protest music, but it is. But it's also just, this is what people write about when they're not, you know, trying to get rich and famous in commercial radio, you know. And I would say that what's not normal and what's really bizarre is the idea that all that there is to write about is relationships. I mean, maybe partly that's a product of a privileged society where people feel like, you know, they don't feel as connected to the problems in the world because they have plenty to eat and they have a good job and whatever. And so then maybe in those situations, people tend to write about relationships more often. But I think it's much more the influence of the music industry that's created this situation.
Dave, would like to listen to another song.
Sure.
And my guest is folk singer David Rovics. He's a well-known and popular singer in the North American scene.
At least in the protest scene. not anywhere else.
Well, I guess you are taking the place of Jan Boaz and the folk singers. You are the folk singer of our time. Is there...
In that vein. I mean, there's others, too. There's others now who are doing the same kind of thing as people like Joan Baez and Phil Oakes and various others at that time. Of course,
would Bob Dylan be considered a folk singer
in the
60s?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, now
and a very political
like
one, too. He got more into rock and more, which is also a folk tradition in the broad sense. You know, I mean, anything other than classical music, you could say is folk music, really. But the way the term has been defined now, it's sort of strange. And I, you know, often even, I mean, one person who's considered sort of the grandfather of folk music today in the U.S. is Pete Seeger, and he doesn't use the term folk music because he feels like it's been too narrowly defined. And as far as he's concerned, folk music includes rock, jazz, punk, you know, hip hop. It's all folk music. If it's not elite music, it's folk, you know.
You wrote a song on Jerusalem.
Yeah.
I know you told me it's a little sad.
Oh, they all are, but that's okay. Yeah.
Let's listen to it.
Sure. This is the song that got me banned from
going back to Israel.
Yeah. Hear them praying, watch the army marching in. As they clubbed old women, did you see the general grin? Watch the stones fly and the snipers taking aim. On Shatila's birthday, it's a calculated game. And they're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. Did you hear him screaming? See the horror on his face as he hid for cover in a tiny unprotected space. Did you hear his father pleading? There is a child here trying to protect his son, who yelled in horror and in fear that they're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. Did you feel the wind blow from the helicopter blades? Did you smell the tear gas, see the demolition raids? Did you see the rockets and the dum-dum bullets fly? Did you feel the horror to watch one more young boy die as they're gunning down the children of Jerusalem? Did you see the roadblocks letting nobody go past? Watch the blood flow as time is running fast.
see someone's brother taking his last breath. So close to the hospital, but closer still to death. And they're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. Did you hear the fat cat say it's just what we had feared? An armed uprising, realization of our fears. Do you hear them chanting that this is their homeland? They want what's ours, and we've got to make a stand. So we're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. Some want power, and it seems the world's theirs to give. Some just want peace and a decent place to live. Some talk of destiny and what their God has willed. While a mother weeps that her 9-year-old's been killed. And they're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. They're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. They're gunning down the children of Jerusalem.
Well done. Well done. Bravo.
Thanks.
It's really good.
I forgot a couple words there, but I didn't sleep enough last night.
Well, you had a gig last night.
In Vermont, yeah. Then I got held up at the border as usual.
And, yeah. And they let you go?
Eventually, after searching my car.
You are listening to La Croix Palestinienne, the Palestinian radio program from Montreal, and this is CKUT 90.3 FM. My guest is folk singer David Rovix, which we are really pleased to have him in the studio here. Obviously, from your songs, you really feel the people, you feel what's happening there, you feel the war, the killing of the children, the bombing. This is, I guess this is what a poet, what an artist feels.
Yeah, I think that that cannot be emphasized too much. That the most important thing I think for anybody really is to open yourself up to experiencing what other people are experiencing, to try to identify with what other people are experiencing, to allow. And it's really I really don't think that it takes effort for most people. It's just a matter of allowing yourself to feel. Because the feelings are there. I think people have those feelings. They just try to ignore what's happening. They don't read the paper. They just try to live their own lives because to feel is too overwhelming because what's happening in the world is a lot of really horrible stuff. And then, of course, there's so many other people who don't have the choice. And of course, the people living in the West Bank or the refugees, they are feeling this all the time. Because they've lived it, and so in some situations you can't get away from it. Maybe without a heroin addiction or something, but for other people there's some kind of a choice about whether to feel these things. But I think the feelings are there for anyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dave, you also gave your voice to the question or to the U.S. foreign policies on the sanction of Iraq and mm-hmm. the potential bombing of Iraq, which we hear a lot about it.
Yeah.
You wrote some songs on this.
Yeah, I've written a lot of songs about Iraq. I think that Iraq is, if you had to say, what's the single biggest preventable humanitarian disaster in the world today, it's Iraq. I mean, we're not talking about a natural disaster. We're talking about U.S. foreign policy killing 1.5 million people, which is... the kind of numbers, the kind of, misery we're talking about in Iraq, I think it's hard to find... situations that are comparable in terms of, especially when you consider what a high living standard Iraq had only 12 years ago, really on a par with Spain or some other, quite developed nation, and then now the living standard there is along the lines of Mali, and used to be the biggest health problem in Iraq was obesity, and now of course it's hunger and malnutrition. And this is all caused by the United States and their You know.
It is unfortunate, all these resources and all this wealth is wasted into the cause of war.
Yeah.
You know, when we think about Iraq, we think about Mesopotamia and how much they contributed to civilizations, Western civilizations and all others, from the code of law by Hammurabi and all this, even the invention of the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we forget about that. And later on, during the Baghdad, you know, the civilization of the Abbasids, which they contributed many ideas from medicine, the zero, which we use today, has been imported from that city.
Exactly. You know, when I was in Israel, one of the first places I was at was actually with the woman who had organized my tour there, who was, like so many people, very contradictory, very nice person, except that she's a raving racist. And, she actually made a reference to Latin numerals, and she meant Arabic numerals. And I had to correct her. I said, "Do you mean Arabic numerals? Because, that's what you're talking about here." Yeah. And,
Latin numerals, they don't have zero like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was a completely impossible system for doing any kind of mathematics. But, there's a widespread notion, especially among the population in Israel, but also, other places like North America, that, nothing good could be coming out of Arab society, but of course it's an ingrained racist notion.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. We would like to listen to another song. We'll
sure.
Leave it to you.
Sure.
I know you wrote another song on Palestine, but you could go jump to Iraq, to Colombia, Greece, wherever you wish.
Well, let's see here. I'll do a really broad one that covers a lot of bases, because we could try to cover lots more bases in different songs, but we don't have time. So this one is, it's called Hang a Flag in the Window, which is sort of the default knee-jerk reaction in the United States whenever when in doubt, put up a flag and hope for the best, seems to be the general orientation. So this was largely inspired from a speech by George W. Bush, who I think is a very inspiring figure.
We want a safer country, and it's in God we trust. So we'll bomb you during Ramadan, turn your world into dust. But pull up on your bootstraps, stand on your own 2 feet, as we blow them off with cluster bombs disguised as something to eat. We stand for freedom and prosperity, so we'll bomb your schools and hospitals. Make sure you live in liberty, and all you evildoers, and your children and your wives. With our B-52s, we'll show you how we value civilian lives. Give us your hungry, your restless. We'll show you democracy, a military trial, and detention indefinitely. We'll have homeland security. Thomas Ridge, all hail. We may not find the terrorists, but we can throw the left in jail. And we will all be safe, and we shall have no fears, once our retinas have been scanned, and all the walls have ears. And we're all in good hands. When the FBI is in the know, we're sure they'll look after us, just like they did with COINTELPRO. So hang a flag in the window, all hail to the chief. Follow the leader and suspend your disbelief. Our country, right or wrong, you know what to do. Sing, God bless America, that red, white, and blue. When facing anyone with box cutters, we'll say put up your dukes, as we spend $50 billion on bombers and nukes. We're a beacon of light, and just to make the point, we'll cut taxes on the rich and throw the poor into the joint. And we'll bail out the airlines, get out your green fedoras, and for all you laid off workers, we've got maquiladoras. Yes, capitalism will save us, for have you ever seen more convincing proof than Enron in Argentina? So hang a flag in the window, all hail to the chief. Follow the leader and suspend your disbelief. Our country, right or wrong, you know what to do. Sing, God bless America, that red, white, and blue. The axis of evil will bomb them down the skids. There'll be no more terrorists once we kill their kids. People may starve and economies may crumble, but those folks will just have to learn to be more humble and give us your money, debt repayments with aplomb, while we scour the map for a country left to bomb. And as another city falls on our sacred American soil, at least we've got our daisy cutters and that Alaskan oil. So hang a flag in the window, all hail to the chief. Follow the leader and suspend your disbelief. Our country, right or wrong, you know what to do. Sing, God bless America, that red, white, and blue.
Good job. Excellent.
Thank you.
Well, you are listening to La Croix Palestinienne, the Palestinian radio program from Montreal, and this is CKUT 90.3 FM. We are also on the web, www.ckut.ca. And my guest today is folk singer David Rovics, which I'm pleased to have him with us in the studio here. Obviously, you have an opinion, David, on the on the U.S. policies, on Israel, the Middle East. What's your vision of the Middle East or Israel and U.S. foreign policies?
What would I like to see happen? I'd like to see U.S. Aid to Israel stop completely, and I'd like to see, I guess then it becomes a question of, you know, my ideal vision. I'm a leftist, you know, so I mean, I would like to see people living together, getting along. I'd like to see the right of return for all Palestinian refugees. I'd like to see a non-religious democracy with equal participation of all individuals, whether they're Palestinian, Jewish, Muslim, Christian, whatever, living together, like they did before the Zionists declared a religious state. But, you know, if that's not going to be possible, then I'd like to see a two-state solution certainly, I mean, I guess just about anything could be better than what's happening now, but...
Fantastic. Well, you are a visionary. You really give the people of give us hope for peace and justice in that part of the world. Unfortunately, for a long time, people kind of close their ears, close their eyes. They don't want to see the plight, and it's been going on cooking for a long time.
And the media and so many others tend to paint these things as in completely inappropriate ways. You know, like say it's a religious war. It's not a religious war. It's a war between the haves and the have-nots. It's no more a religious war than Northern Ireland is a religious war. That's never been a religious war either. It's a war between some people that own everything and other people that own nothing, except in Israel, Palestine. It's much more extreme between the differences between the haves and the have-nots. And of course, different people, both Jews, Muslims, all kinds of people try to paint it as a religious war as well to serve their own purposes. But in essence, there's no way that, for example, Hamas would not be able to recruit if it were just on religious grounds. They're recruiting because people are desperately, you know, ready to give up their lives because they're hopeless. You know, of course, you know, when in a situation like that. The phenomenon, for example, of suicide bombing is not new to Palestine. That's a long tradition. It's not just a Muslim tradition either. It's happened all over the world. That particular tactic, to paint the whole thing as some kind of like fundamentalism, whether it's Jewish fundamentalism or Islamic or whatever. It's about settlers that came from Europe and North America and took over a whole bunch of land and drove people out at gunpoint and into refugee camps. I mean, that's what it's about. You know.
Absolutely. You know, Hamas actually was created, some people would say, by the Israeli authority in Gaza and the West Bank. They were encouraged, Hamas, to be against Fatah and against Yasser Arafat.
Yeah, exactly.
Now the situation has changed.
Right.
And, you know... I hate to say, but there were living peacefully Jews and everybody in Palestine, and Palestinians, Christians and Muslims, until the Zionist movement stepped in.
Exactly.
I mean, we go, like the previous program was about Andalusia. Andalusia, this is a good example how the Jews flourish under, not just live. They had a really created great literature and art and philosophy, and many of the Jewish philosophers were born in Andalusia and North Africa and Morocco, etc. Yeah. And the same thing in Egypt and Palestine and Iraq.
That's right. Anybody who reads any Jewish history has to realize that historically, until the Zionist state was created, historically, Jews and Muslims have gotten along great. Jews and Christians have not gotten along so well, and the Christians are always killing the Jews. But Jews and Muslims always got along really well. Historically, Jewish subcultures have flourished in Islamic states or in states that were primarily Muslim for hundreds and hundreds of years.
But do you think the situation in the Middle East today, capitalism has to do something with that? Is there any?
Oh yeah, I think so. One of the aspects of colonialism has been that colonialism always works better when you're taking over a society of hunter-gatherers, and when you're trying to take over a developed civilization like the entire Middle East is and has been forever since civilization has existed, it's a lot harder because you're dealing with people who are educated, who have an idea of their history as a civilization that very closely comparable to the civilizations that are trying to take them over, and it doesn't work as well. And so I think that the whole project of creating a state there had to do with this idea of, okay, we're gonna just militarily move in there and create a state of settlers rather than try to create a country with people that are gonna take on our values, because they already have the same kind of values of a modern civilization, and you can't just, also a much more populated region, you can't just, it doesn't work as well as, I'm not sure I'm expressing this very eloquently, but I think it has to do with wanting to have control over a region that has historically been a very difficult region for Europe and North America to control.
Well, the idea of settlers actually started with capitalists, with rich, Jews who want to invest in some lands, and they use some poor, Jews and this is during the Turkish Empire in northern Palestine and Galilee. But the Zionism, or the idea of Zionism, has started, and they start to grab. And it would be nice if they continued on a human level, but unfortunately went to grabbing lands and intimidations. And this is how it started. Zionism, unfortunately, is not changing its mind. Although there are some people, even from the very beginning, they were calling for coexistence with the Palestinians, but the other side, unfortunately, had the upper hand and continued. Mm-hmm. But let's go back to that song, which I really would like to hear, and maybe the listeners would like to listen to.
Oh, yeah, sure.
One World, I guess.
In One World?
In One World, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a song about based on a story I read in the Palestine Monitor, which for anybody out there who hasn't seen, that's a wonderful publication. I think it's palestinemonitor.org. And they have lots of really great person on the street type of, from the angle of people in, very personal stories of different situations in the occupied territories and related to the occupation. And this story was about a man who grew up in Haifa, who left in 1948 and was driven out, and then returned in the 70s just to visit for the day, and went to the house that he grew up in and met the family of Jewish refugees from Iraq who were living there. And I thought it's a great story to tell.
All right.
In 1948, I fled my village. The Stern Gang drove my family from the lands. We ran into the desert, where I've spent these decades living by my hands. Life in Haifa wasn't easy. It's so much better than this hellhole with the soldiers and barbed wire and the closures and the hunger. The machine gun fire, and each day I wonder, after Haifa, the home that we abandoned when the Zionists had won, is there a family with a child? Does its father love it as I loved my only son before the soldiers shot him down, riddled him with bullets in his back and in his head, home in Haifa, in my house? Does his father know the pain there is in an empty bed? In 1960, I fled my country, left the Tigris River for this foreign place. I had to leave home. I didn't want to, but they were rounding up the leftists, and the papers had my face and my son. A student leader in the streets of Baghdad was nowhere to be found, so I walked through the mountains, just the shirt upon my back, knowing not where I was bound. Now here I am, this town of Haifa, in this little house, but at least I'm still alive. And each day I wonder, after Baghdad, would any of them recognize me if they're still alive? Jeez, I'm forgetting the words. It took a long time, but I made a life here. And I wish my son could be here in this town upon the shore. I was with my wife. It was the Sabbath when an old Arab couple knocked upon our door. We asked them in, gave them tea, 'cause that's what you do with strangers. And we could see they meant no harm. We told our story, they told theirs, us of our life in Baghdad, them of their family farm, and of this house which they once lived in, where once they raised a family long before their hair turned gray, and of their son and the soldiers, and of ours, who we still cry for every day. So much in common, so much gone bad, so much running and never coming home. You can hear the carts falling down, see the faces of the children forever forced to roam. And here we were in this house, fearing that tomorrow would be just like yesterday. So much resentment, so much at stake. And I really don't remember who was the first to say, in one world, in one village, in one home, let us live together. In one world, in one village, in one home, let us live together. In one world, in one village, in one home, let us live together. In one world.
All right, super. You are listening to L'Ecoa Palestinia, the Palestinian radio program from Montreal, and this is CKUT 90.3 FM. My guest is folk singer David Ravix, and we are going over our time, waiting for David, for Adam Gottlieb. Oh, here he is. But we'll take a short break and we'll be back.
Can we, can I...
L'Ecoa Palestinia.
L'Ecoa Palestinia.
The Palestinian radio program from Montreal.
Every Monday from 11:30 a.m. to 12 o'clock noon. Chaque lundi de 11h30 jusqu'à midi. Rukn Palestine, برنامج الراديو الفلسطيني من مونتريال.
Rukn Palestine.
كل اثنين من الساعة 11:30 صباحا إلى 12:00 ظهرا.
anybody can do something.
For news you need to know, listen to Off the Hour, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. From Montreal, across Canada, and around the world, we have it all. Hard-hitting reports, eyewitness interviews, and in-depth documentaries exploring the issues without the corporate spin doctoring.
You know, there are two ways to go through life. One is to believe everything. The other is to believe nothing. Both ways avoid thinking.
Catch the news on Off the Hour, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM.
That was our program for this week. Thank you so much for listening to La Croix Palestinienne, the Palestinian radio program from Montreal. And thanks to our guest, folk singer David Rovix. And you can listen to his songs, concerts, and issues he sings for on his website,
DavidRovix.com. That's David, RovIcs.com. Lots of free music to download. The concerts that are coming up. Yeah, lots of other stuff.
Well, stay tuned for the next program, World Skip the Beat, with Adam Gottlieb. Hope to have you with us next week. Salam, shalom, and goodbye.